Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, this is Janet Miranda, Executive Director of Priests for Life. And of course, I'm joined by pro-life leader Frank Pavone. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
Well, boy, oh boy, what an election cycle we are in right now. And,
unlike anything else.
Well, Kamala is hiding from the media. She's not coming out, and just other than her little canned speeches that she's making off a teleprompter, she's refusing to do interviews. President Trump, of course, is out there. And, you know, it's the American voting system and election is about both candidates coming out and debating and telling everyone where they stand on the issues. And so they're not doing it so that we're going to do it right now.
Well,
right?
It's a non-campaign of a non-candidate. It's almost like it's an artificial intelligence campaign.
Right.
Except it's dumb, not intelligent. She's not appearing.
Right.
And the statements that are coming out of her campaign are a completely different person than we know her to
record.
Be.
Her record is atrocious, and so is Walz.
And Walz.
Terrible.
It's a mm-hmm. non-campaign.
But she's reading word for word off a teleprompter, so much so that on the media over the weekend, it was so funny. I was laughing. They showed her speaking in Detroit and speaking also in Minneapolis.
It's the same speech.
It's the same speech, line by line. They showed her first opening line. Second, the other city's exactly the same. Even the line that she said was, and I even worked at McDonald's. And she laughed on cue in both places.
It's
a joke. So I thought what we would do is let's just look at President Trump's pro-life record. And then I got some facts here. Facts about Harris's and Walz's, their actual, like, in her case, her voting record, and in his case, bills he signed into law.
Well, I was asked about this just recently on Newsmax, actually. What is the pro-abortion? Are these pro-abortion radicals that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And they are, both Harris and Walz.
Right.
But let's start with President Trump. Of course, you know, I've always said over the years, the first and greatest thing President Trump did for the pro-life movement was very simple. He kept Hillary Clinton out of the White House.
Right. Well,
because
that
was huge.
Was
an abortion extremist too.
Exactly.
And had she gotten in, all kinds of things would have been done to radically expand and fund abortion.
And
he
and
prevented that from happening.
And that's where it shows you when he was going against Hillary, how important a debate is, because it was in that last debate that he called her out on abortion and said, you're in favor of a late term abortion, of pulling arms and legs off a baby inside its mother's womb and crushing the baby's head. I mean, that was stark. We have never, ever, ever in the history that you and I have been at this for over three decades, have never heard a Republican candidate describe abortion like President Trump did.
That's why we were happy if the topic even came up. But,
when that happened in that debate, that really clinched it. Because up to that point, you know, there was some pro-lifers, I don't know if we can support Trump. Well, he gave them every reason at that debate. And that's why debates are so important, really.
And the biggest accomplishment, of course, the support appointment of judges and justices, the three Supreme Court justices he appointed led, as he predicted it would, to the reversal of Roe v. Wade. He predicted that in October of 2016. And the other almost 300 federal judges. Now, you and I go to these pro-life leader update meetings. And as you know, one of the presentations is about federal litigation in terms of abortion.
Right.
And what happens every time? The report is full of cases, multiple cases, numerous cases that are right now making their way up through the different federal courts having to do with abortion.
Right.
Some of it has to do with abortion funding, other limitations that states try to place on abortion, and then it gets into the federal courts. And many of these cases now are being heard by Trump-appointed judges, which tends to favor, there's always exceptions, depending what the case is also, but tends to favor the pro-life side. So the appointment of judges, something, the effect of that goes way beyond a presidential administration.
Oh, it, right?
Way beyond.
They're lifetime appointments. Yeah. So it's forever and ever.
And Biden is not going to be able to catch up with Trump in terms of the number of judges appointed. We heard that in our latest pro-life leaders meeting, too. But, you know, he did other things. Now, a lot of this has to do with, you know, when you say, what did a president do for pro-life? You know, a lot of it depends on the Congress. The president does. We have a system of government where the three branches,
right,
each have their rules and they each have their roles and they each have checks and balances on the other ones. So it's not like he can just do things by himself all across the board. But there are certain things he can do by executive action. And he did them. For example, just most of it has to do with funding or defunding the abortion industry. He deprived the abortion industry of billions of dollars. He signed legislation early on in his term to allow the states to defund Planned Parenthood. He also issued an executive order to give the states the option to withhold other federal money and Medicaid money from organizations that perform abortions, including Planned Parenthood. And then the Title X. The Title X program is not supposed to fund abortion, but it was, in fact, funding it, and he put a stop to that, again, by executive action, because it's the role of the president to enforce the law, right?
Right.
Stopped that. Planned Parenthood actually had to drop out of the program, otherwise they would lose their abortion funding. And then the Mexico City policy that protects our money from funding abortion overseas, not only did he reinstate it.
He enhanced it.
He expanded it, right. So yeah, these are just some of the things. And then, of course, you know, he established an entire office for conscience. So there's offices for civil rights in the different federal agencies, but he established a special division because he knew that a lot of Americans, when it comes to abortion, the other side is not in favor of choice, the way they say.
No.
They're in favor of coercion. They want to push abortion down
our
throats.
And they want to force doctors, nurses to participate who have a conscious objection.
Right. So President Trump and his team were quite aware that these people like this were suffering all over the country. And yet only literally under Obama, about 8 complaints reached the Office of Civil Rights. There's more than 8, you know, in a country of what, over 300 million people. So when he established this office and made it known that people could alert the federal government if they were being forced to choose between obeying the law and obeying their conscience,
right,
hundreds of complaints started pouring in.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the fellow who was overseeing that, Roger Severino, we talked to him about it. Protecting conscience rights. And the administration intervened. They intervened, for example, in Vermont,
right,
to defend a nurse who was, even though she had told the medical institution she worked for that she wanted nothing to do with abortion, they forced her to be involved anyway. President Trump and his administration came to her defense. And then, of course, you know, the whole question of religious freedom, we were involved in this.
Exactly.
Where the administration protected us from having to cover some forms of abortion in our health insurance plan.
Exactly.
But what did President Trump do for pro-life? Plenty.
Plenty.
And there's much more where this came from. A lot of it's the stuff behind the scenes, you know, the HHS, Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, it's just the people he placed in
In those positions.
In those positions were Christian pro-life people,
right,
conservative people who wanted to get things back the way they should be. And now what happened was when Trump lost in 2020 and 2021,
which some of course would put
lost. But in comes Biden Harris. What did they do? They literally erased all the good Trump did by executive order. In other words, Biden got rid of the Mexico City policy and he just went right down the line. And so now people are persecuted because of conscience, because there's no more protections for them, because there's a hostile government right now in the White House.
Yeah.
And that's why this election is so important.
See, that's a question people should ask. Why in the world would Biden drop the defense of people of conscience who, I mean, it's not all about, you know, making abortion illegal. It's a right. person of conscience. A nurse doesn't want to be involved in killing babies. Why wouldn't you defend her, even especially when the law already exists?
Right.
It exists. These are pro-abortion radicals.
They are.
Biden is, and now, like you were
Harris.
Saying, Kamala.
And
Tampon Tim, as he's been called, because of his wanting to put tampons in
He did it already.
Boys' bathrooms.
Once he did it already.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here's some. Now we went over. President Trump is 100% the pro-life president we want to put back in office. However, Harris and Waltz, okay? Here's some proof. As vice president, Kamala Harris presided over the Senate vote on the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. which is federal legislation that would impose on all 50 states all trimester abortion without any limits. Okay, even painful late-term abortion. I mean, that's ridiculous, ridiculous. And then, of course, Tim there, Walz, as governor, he proudly signed a bill wiping away Minnesota's 24-week abortion limit, allowing unlimited abortion even in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy. Unbelievable. But I think the absolute worst thing is imagine a baby in an abortion born alive. Okay. Kamala, this is what she did. She voted twice against bipartisan legislation that would simply require that a child who survives an abortion be given the same level of care any other baby would receive. Twice. She voted against bipartisan, which meant people from both sides of the aisle supported this, and yet she voted against it. Unbelievable. You know? And of course, Tim Walz signed legislation repealing protections for babies born alive in Minnesota.
You know, the reason they don't want to protect babies after birth is because that shines a light on what abortion is. Because you were just trying to kill that same baby.
Exactly.
So why now, if you suddenly say, well, wait a minute, this baby it has to be protected, then the now logical next question is, why wasn't that baby deserving of protection 5 minutes ago?
Right.
That to see, and so they don't want to, they're protecting abortion by depriving protection outside the context of abortion. These people are sick.
Well, and they have no conscience. Imagine what kind of an abortionist now gets that baby in front of him. He didn't kill it. He made a mistake. And the baby is fighting to live, struggling in front of him. And they just toss the baby aside.
They either do nothing, right, or they actually go ahead and kill the baby.
And kill the baby.
Either way,
it's barbaric, and it's called infanticide.
Yeah.
Wake up.
And if people don't think that Harris Walz are in favor of this kind of thing, just ask them.
Well,
let's hear the word.
Well, I'm just telling you, this is their record.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on record. This is what Walz signed into law, and this is how she voted.
Right.
So. They can lie all they want right now to the media, but they have a voting record. And that's what everyone should pay attention to, because when they get into office, if they do, God forbid, what do you think they're going to do? They're fooling the American people right now.
Right.
Okay, well, then they don't just stop there, because now they try to shut down real choices for women like pregnancy centers. So here's another example. As Attorney General, Harris strongly supported legislation to force pregnancy resource centers that provide real support for women and families in need to refer for abortion. And we know that went all the way to the Supreme Court with the Becerra case, right?
NIFLA. It was originally NIFLA versus Harris.
So
the idea that you take a pregnancy center, which exists to provide alternatives to abortion, and tell them that they have to refer for abortion,
It doesn't make sense.
It's, again, talk about violation of conscience, violation of common sense, violation of free speech.
Right.
Violation of freedom of religion, violation of human decency. It's crazy.
You know, I always said, why don't they force Planned Parenthood to give women real choices? They don't.
Right.
The only thing they do is sell abortion. They never say to a woman, because see, if you're going to force a pregnancy center to refer to abortion, then force Planned Parenthood to refer to a pregnancy center.
Right.
That's equal.
Yeah.
But they don't want that. They just want to sell abortion. That's all they want. So again, you know, they have a record. Now here's Walz. This is what he did. He repealed Minnesota's law prohibiting coercing women into having abortions and repealed the requirement that women get informed consent.
Right. He's against informed consent.
Informed consent.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't want women to know. And that's what Planned Parenthood does. And there's a lot of states that have women's right to know bills. And yet Planned Parenthood fights those vehemently. Why?
Yeah.
What, are women stupid? They shouldn't have the facts about their abortion? I mean, we know by the testimonies of women from Silent No More. They didn't even know the name of the abortionist. Like, who doesn't know the name of their doctor before they're about to have a procedure?
Yeah.
Come on, right? I mean, even if you go to get your eyes examined, don't you know the name of the doctor?
And the opportunity to ask the doctor questions.
Questions,
right?
No, so most of those abortion doctors, you can tell by the Silent No More testimonies, they don't know the name of the doctor. The doctor doesn't talk to them. doesn't even look at them, just comes in, kills their baby, and out they go. How is that good health care? It's not.
And how is that support for choice? You would think that if you're in favor of, well, with a woman making a choice, you would be in favor of her knowing what she's choosing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, another point about Harris, okay? She has consistently called for the repeal of the Hyde Amendment. Consistently,
which
as
protects
a senator.
Which protects our tax money from abortion.
From abortion, exactly. Yeah. So again, proof. See, to me, the proof is in the pudding. How did you act when you were the Attorney General in California? How did you act when you were in the Senate? I mean, you got a voting record, and it's right. And it's despicable, her voting record. And yet, she's just smiling there and laughing and giggling and not debating. We need her to debate. We really do. So now with Walz, he signed legislation increasing taxpayer support for Medicaid-funded abortions in the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so clear.
Yes. You know, in the midst of all of this, I challenge these Democrats. Describe what you defend. They think it's so good. They want us to pay for it. They don't want people to object to it.
No.
They don't want it to be delayed. They don't want alternatives to it. So if it's so good, could you show it to us?
Right.
I've been saying this. You know, I heard Mark Levin say this on one of his programs. We're not having an honest debate about abortion.
No.
Like President Trump says, you know, the people are deciding, the states are deciding. But you can't decide on these things unless you have an honest debate.
Right.
Otherwise, and that's why these constitutional amendment proposals in the states are so deceptive, because they're not. It's not the people voting on abortion. They don't even know what it's talking about. And that shows the weakness of these people. I want to hear, if you take all the speeches, now Harris was the first vice president to visit an abortion mill. Oh, how nice. You know, contrast that with President Trump being the first president to go to the March for Life.
Right.
You know, which one is better, right?
Yeah. Oh, and why doesn't Harris go visit a pregnancy center?
Yeah, that's right.
But they want to call those places fake clinics.
Fake.
And they want to shut them down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clear. That I just want our listeners to really pay attention.
Yes, and ProLifeVote.com, we're going to have all this information.
Yeah, all this is on ProLifeVote.com, and you need to have conversations with your friends and neighbors relatives. Because I'm telling you, this weekend I had a few conversations with some people, and they're still confused. They're still confused.
They're confused about what?
Well, because they said, well, you know, Harris doesn't seem so bad. I'm going, what? What? And then I said, okay, you know what? You don't want to talk about abortion, all right? You don't want to talk about abortion because that's my issue. They all know that because Harris is 100% in favor of abortion and Trump is pro-life. But okay, let's just talk about something else. Guess what? In 2020, on Election Day, gas where I live in Merritt Island, Florida, was $1.87 a gallon. I went and got gas yesterday. It was $3.29.
It's ridiculous.
Now, and in some places, like out in California, the left coast, it's $6 a gallon out there. Yeah. So, like, wake up.
You know,
or the grocery prices. I nearly had a heart attack. I was in the store of BJ's, and I went to get this big thing, like a big gallon of olive oil I use for frying and cooking, right? Last time I bought it, it was $23.99. How much do you think it was yesterday? Because I didn't buy it. I said, I'll wait for a coupon. $40. It's like the prices of groceries has gone through the roof, doubled and tripled, like I just said. And gas has doubled and tripled. And why? It's Biden economics. That's what we're suffering
from. Well, the question for voters that think Kamala doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
She's vice president now.
And she isn't doing anything.
This is not like someone who, oh, if I were in power, I would. She's vice president now and has been for 3 years. What does it matter what she seems like? You look at how things are now.
Right.
Because whatever she's doing, she's not doing much.
No.
To make things better.
Right.
Why wouldn't she be improving things now? She's in the second most powerful position. I don't understand.
And I showed you her voting record when she was in the Senate. And then as vice president, when she sat in the Senate to do the tying vote, she voted for abortion. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So the website they have to go to again?
The Pro-Life Vote is our election website, prolifevote.com.org. They both work. And we've got all sorts of information up there, not only on the positions of these candidates, but on what people can do to
and right now,
get out the vote.
Registering to vote, registration is still okay in all 50 states. You can still register. But we have the deadlines up there at prolifevote.com of when the deadlines expire in the different states, and also when Election Day starts.
You know, it's not November. This election begins just in a few weeks.
Yeah, in September, early voting.
September 6th is when the first state allows voters to fill out the first ballots. This is crazy. I mean, it's 2 months now. It's 2 months of election from September 6th to November 5th.
Exactly.
That's the election.
And notice, no debating happened yet. Yeah. And yet they're going to start casting ballots very soon.
Oh, yeah. And not even Harris hasn't even done a press conference. She says, oh, maybe by the end of the month. What do you mean the end of the end of the month?
Right.
It's still a few weeks away. Get in front of the cameras
because
today.
If she's not on the teleprompter, she can't utter intelligent sentence.
That's why people shouldn't be worried about the positive polling right now.
No.
This is circus month.
Right.
August.
This is
circus
a honeymoon month. They're
it's
calling
magic
it.
Month.
Her honeymoon.
Yeah. But although, you know what? That's already starting to fade. And really, Walz is in a lot of trouble. You know, for all this, we don't have time to go into it now, but all this stuff about stolen valor and lies about his military, sir. This is hurting him a lot. I wouldn't be surprised now if these Democrats start talking about, oh, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we got to swap him with somebody else at the convention, which if they do that, it shows how completely
first of all,
in disarray they are.
They have a candidate that they're putting there that didn't get
a single vote.
A single vote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The delegates didn't vote for her.
That is an important, and the delegates and the voters, the American people,
yeah.
They weren't voting for Harris. They were voting for Biden.
Right.
And he got votes enough to secure the nomination. And it's like, there's an important question there.
Yes.
What's going on here? Is this really the way that
they threw out the whole process,
right.
The whole primary process with one like that? It's very sad.
He obviously didn't want to leave that race. He made it clear.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave.
Oh, yeah. Days before he got out, he was saying, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
So they put pressure to bear on him that he just caved, I guess. But whatever it is, brothers and sisters, you got to go to prolifevote.com and check out the facts. So thanks for the great discussion.
Yep.
And brothers and sisters, it's in your hands. Now's the period of time. Have people register to vote. Go to checkyourvoterregistration.com. Make sure they're properly registered because some people think they are and they're not. Because every vote is going to count and we need you. Thank you and God bless.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.